I told you on Friday about a verse. I read this verse to you that you've maybe never heard before. And it was Romans 3:22. The first amazing thing about this verse is that it credits Jesus Christ's faith with righteousness. Paul speaks of a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith for all and on all who are believing. That's the verse I want to amplify on today. It's for all. Jesus Christ died for the sake of the entire world. God is conciliated to the entire world, as I told you on Friday. This is for all, but it is only on those who are believing. What does Paul mean when he says on? That is the realization and the recognition of the truth. God wills for all humanity to come to a realization of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 6. Verse 3, let's start with. Speaking of our Savior God, who wills that all humanity be saved and come into a realization of the truth. What truth? That all humanity is saved. Now, today I'm going to tell you the difference between having been saved and being saved. The whole world has been saved. The whole world has been purchased by Jesus Christ. But not everyone, that knowledge isn't on everyone. And so, as I told you Friday, there are many people who don't realize that God's favor, God's good opinion is upon them. It's only on his side because they are not aware of it. That's why there's a battle today between the dark and the light. There's a battle between those who are heralding truth, people like me and you, and those who are heralding falsehood, which is the Christian religion. Interesting verse in Romans 2. Paul says to the Jews, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. I tell you this, because of Christians, the name of God is blasphemed in the whole world. The whole world is afraid of God, is really pissed off at God, shakes their fist at God because they think that God is perched to destroy them, waiting for them to make one little screw up. And yet they're born in sin and death. They have these passions. They have these lusts. They have these desires. They want to drink beer. They want to watch X-rated movies. They want to say a bad word. But if they do, they think, because they've been taught, that the God of Christianity is going to destroy them. And so it just makes them harder. It just drives them away from God. That's why Paul said in Romans 2, I think maybe verse 24, about the Jews, you've driven the world from God. Because of you, God is blasphemed. He's flipped off. He's hated. And because of Christians, the same thing has happened. So the realization of the truth, that's what's needed here. And I told you the horrible Christian example that I've heard for years. Salvation is like a present. Like Elmer Fudd would say, it's like a present. You have to open up the present. God gave you a present. What are you going to do with it? You have to open it up, but the present's no good. That's the wrong analogy. It's like $1 million in your bank account. It's real. You're rich. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. You just don't know about it. I show you your statement. Boom. It's all good. So it's on people who are believing, but it's for everybody. Now, there's a lot of confusion when people think that the Bible contradicts itself. You have to be very careful, and you have to be an unashamed workman, correctly cutting or rightly dividing the word of truth. We've read this verse many times together, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you, it is God's approach present. That goes along with Jesus Christ's faith. It's Jesus Christ's faith, and it's God's present. It's amazing, God's approach present. How different is this from the old covenant? The old covenant was people brought their presents to God. People constantly brought gifts. Even the Magi brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Remember, I brought my video comparing Christians to the Flintstones. But that was the old days. Now it's actually God bringing a gift to humanity. Amazing difference here. This is God's approach present. Christ is God's approach present. God is like Christ's faith. God is like approaching us. But and this message is so simple. But again, it's not being published because it's not believed, because it's not known, because the hearts are hard out there, generally very hard. Ephesians 2:8-9. For in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you. All right, now I want to show you in the concordant version. Let's see if I have a pen here. Okay, I don't know if you can see this. This is really important for you to see. Grace and faith, are you saved? In the word saved, there's a little circle above it. I can't read it because I'm looking at it backwards. Hang on a second. Grace through faith. There's a little circle, which means it's the complete verb form. Here it is. Grace through faith, are you saved? There's a little circle in front of that. That means it's the complete verb form. In the literal Greek, this would read this way. In grace through faith, you are the ones having been saved. That's the exact way that reads in the concordant Greek text. You are the ones having been saved. Now, God has saved. God has conciliated. God has removed the sins of the entire world. It's a done deal. What remains is for people to come to a knowledge of it and a realization of it. This is where people read Acts chapter 16, verse 30, the famous line with the Philippian jailer, and they get confused. Remember, Paul and Silas are in Philippi, and they've just been beaten by a mob who thought wrong things of them, and the jailer put them in jail, as jailers are wont to do, and there was an earthquake, and Paul and Silas were delivered from the jail, and the jailer was getting ready to kill himself because he thought everybody was going to escape and he was going to be held liable. Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We are here. We're not going to escape. Everybody's here. And the jailer was so impressed, he took Paul and Silas to his home, dressed their wounds after they had been at the crap beat out of them with rods. And Paul begins to tell him about Jesus Christ. And the jailer says this, masters, isn't that great how these former prisoners who were prisoners the night before, he now calls them masters. Well, they were singing in jail for one thing, which you don't often hear, and the earthquake came and set them free. It was an act of God. Masters, what must I be doing that I may be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your household. Believe and be saved. And that's the Christian battle cry. But they are misapprehending this verse. And they are not, they use this verse illegally. I can see how it could happen. This is why I'm always saying you have to look one step below the surface. This is the difference between having been saved and being saved. Now, there's a different mark here. This is the beauty of the concordant literal New Testament. You can get one of these babies at Clyde Pilkington's outfit, Study Shelf. Go to studyshelf.com and you can get the concordant literal New Testament. What must I do to be saved? But in front of the word saved here, I don't know how this is coming across. There's a vertical stroke instead of the circle. That's right. You heard me right. It's very difficult. Here it is. I can't see it. There's a vertical stroke in front of the word saved instead of a circle. This means it's the incomplete verb form. Let me explain the difference between the complete verb form and the incomplete verb form. It's true, this is a nuance in the Greek, but you're a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? The complete verb form speaks of a done deal. That's the Zender version of complete verb form. It's a done deal. You are the ones having been saved. The salvation of the world has been procured by Jesus Christ, and God is at peace with the world through Jesus Christ. Gentlemen, masters, what must I do to be being saved? The incomplete verb form speaks of someone presently coming into an apprehension of something that has already been done. It's the equivalent of Romans 3:22. It's for all, but it's on all who are believing. It's coming, incomplete, coming to a realization. It's looking at your bank statement, realizing that you've been rich all this time. And now it's real to you. Now it's real to you. It's always been real, just not to you. Real to you. It's for all, it's real, Romans 3:22, but it's only on all to you who are believing. And again, belief is that gift of God that makes it happen for you. That's why the analogy of the birthday present is completely wrong. Because it's not really yours, you see. The birthday present is not really yours, according to these Christians. I say that even if you look at that analogy as they want to present it, it's still not true. Because it's still yours. Somebody gives you a watch, and it's in the box. You just haven't opened it yet. Is it not yours? They're acting like God is even more frugal or stingy than a person giving a birthday present. They're giving you the present, and the present is sitting there, and they've already bought it. It's your watch. They're walking out of the house. This is especially true during a wedding, isn't it? You stack all the gifts in a mountain, and the people don't open it. The husband and the whatever you call them, bride and groom, they don't open it till you're gone. If you don't open it, it's your problem. It's still yours. That's your blender. It's your blender. It's all yours. But you don't come into an application of it. You don't start blending things until you open it, but it's still yours. The bank account is the better example. You're rich. And now it's coming on you. So salvation is a done deal. That's why I can tell people, you have been saved. You have been saved. God is at peace with you. That's eternal life. You're going to have eternal life with God. Because it doesn't depend on you. In the same context, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. That's a good one. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, this is in verse 14. For the love of Christ, that's not a statement of frustration. For the love of Christ. This is actual quote. For the love of Christ. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ is constraining us. That is forcing us to say this. Judging this, that if one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. And he died for the sake of all, that those who are living should by no means be living to themselves. So he died for the sake of all, but only those who are living, only those who are being saved, only those who are believing, are coming into a practical understanding and an appreciation of it. Of what? Of a fact. Salvation is a fact, not a fiction. Where nobody's asking anybody to believe in a fiction in order to make it a fact. If Christians were consistent, those who purport to be evangelists, they could say, Jesus Christ is not your Savior. That's what they should say. Jesus Christ did not save you. You're doomed. And then you could say, what do I have to do to be absolutely saved? You see, that's not what the Philippian jailer was asking. What do I have to do to come into this thing that you're talking about? Believe, and it'll be on you. It's for you. It's already been done for you. Now it'll be on you. But they say, the Christians say, unfortunately, they misrepresent it. They say, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. And then people ask, well, why should I believe? Well, he's not your Savior unless you believe. Well, I thought you said he was my Savior. Is he my Savior or isn't he? I need to know what to believe. Tell me what the facts are. Well, he is your... Well, you see, they're confused. They don't understand their own message. What they should say is, he's not your Savior. Jesus Christ is not your Savior. Forget it. You're done. But instead, they all present it like, it's a done deal. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And you go, oh, you're all happy. And then they say, well, wait a minute. Don't get too happy yet. You have to say the sinner's prayer. You have to be baptized. You have to come to our church. You have to give up... Snickers bars for Lent. You have to feel bad. You have to feel guilty. And they have this whole list of things that you're supposed to do. You have to walk worthy of repentance. You have to go to Mass, whatever. Everybody's got a different thing they have to do. So, yes, we need to understand nuances of the Greek. We need to understand the complete form of the verb save. It's the same verb, save. One's complete, one's incomplete. One's an ongoing action. One's a realization. One's a done deal, stated fact, done. Ephesians 2:8-9 again is the complete verb form. You're the ones having been saved. When was I saved? 2,000 years ago. Then what's the Philippian jailer all about? What must I do to be saved? He didn't say that. He did not say that. He said, what must I do to be being saved? What must I do to be getting what you're telling me has already happened? Because Paul, that's how Paul would have presented the gospel. Paul presented the gospel to that guy. And he presented it as Jesus Christ has done this for you. God has conciliated to you. Oh, what do I have to do to be understanding this? Paul says, just believe it. Just believe what we told you. Just believe that it's true. He's not saying that it's not true unless you believe it. That's the Christian trick. It's not true unless you believe it. That's not our message. That wasn't Paul's message. Paul says, I'm telling you what's true. This is what's true. If you believe it, then it'll have a practical application for your life. If you don't believe it, then you're screwing yourself. Because it's still freaking true. You cannot believe about all your money that you have in the bank. You cannot believe it. Go ahead. Don't believe it. Go ahead. You want to be stupid? I'm telling you, you're a millionaire. And you've been a millionaire since your rich uncle died 5 years ago. Just nobody's told you yet. I don't believe it. That's your problem. You're still a millionaire. And every month you get interest on that. And it keeps accumulating. You're making more money. And you're rich. And all you got to do is look at the freaking statement and believe it. But some people, I just don't believe it. What? It's a real shame that you don't believe it because it's so darn true.